Jason Russell is the founder and president of Secure Environment Consultants, also a former Secret Service agent. He's joined us multiple times before, and Jason is back with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I know a number of people to reach out to you, Jason, so I greatly appreciate your time. Considering your experience with the Secret Service, if you could sit down with the top people involved right now, combination of those who are on the scene protecting the former president and the top-level officials, and you could ask them a couple questions about what took place, what would those questions be?
I think the first question would be, you know, what kind of information was it ahead of time? How was this individual able to even identify the fact that the former president was going golfing? It sounds like he was laying in wait for a number of hours. So either he just guessed right, or there was some type of information that kind of leaked out in some form or fashion. The other question I'd want to know is, you know, what steps has the Secret Service taken to kind of, boost the protection profile at this point? You know, we've had two incidents in a couple months. So obviously that's two more than we had in the previous 40 years. So we really need to take a look at what's happening.
Court records today showed, and you alluded to this, that the suspect was in that specific area for 12 hours. So for those of us who are wondering about the security of the perimeter, considering this is a former president, this is the Republican nominee, I think a lot of us are saying, how is it possible that he was there for a half day and wasn't spotted before, thankfully, he was spotted?
That's a great question. You know, I think this would typically be treated as what we call an off-the-record movement, which means it's not on the official schedule. Therefore, if it's not on the official schedule, it's not publicized, it would be difficult for somebody to kind of plan. The reality, though, is this is a not a typical off-the-record movement because yeah. President Trump golfs at this golf course
all the time. Yeah.
Right. It wouldn't be unexpected to have him go to this course. So I think, once again, just maybe a failure of imagination on the part of the Secret Service to recognize that we probably need to go a little bit overboard right now with protection to make sure that we don't have incidents like this happening in the future, because obviously the steps that are being taken right now are not sufficient.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because it is an interesting question. And I made this point earlier. The former president loves to golf. Right. That's a given. So if you're of a skill set that obviously you had and those who have now, you know, that's a reasonable possibility. Right. He's not traveling. He doesn't have a rally that day. He's at Mar-a-Lago. The chances have to be pretty darn strong he's doing that. So maybe this individual just banked on it. The bigger concern somehow, Jason, would be if somehow he had any sort of contact or any sort of information to lead him to that information in any way ahead of time.
Yeah, I think that's highly unlikely. Obviously, nothing's impossible, but I would find it really, unlikely that somebody would have leaked information to, you know, just a random citizen. I think more likely it's that this was a predictable, unpredictable movement, right? Even though it wasn't scheduled, when he's not on the campaign trail and it's a Sunday and he doesn't have anything else on his schedule, he often goes golfing, and he goes golfing at this course. So to predict that he's going to be there, even just to get lucky, I think is probably likely what we're going to find out. Unfortunately, I think, the perimeter has to be pushed. We have to continue to be a little bit more imaginative in terms of the way we're securing these areas.
Okay, let's get back to the debate that we had the last time we talked. We now have two attempts, okay? And I get it that you're not traditionally going to have the same amount of agents around Donald Trump and Kamala Harris as you do Joe Biden. Has that ended now? Is that ended because of this second attempt where Donald Trump and Kamala Harris should both, if it's not exactly, have 90% or 95%, whatever it might be, the same protection that the president does? And then the second question is it possible?
You know, I think to the first question, I would guess that we're probably pretty close, right? I mean, it is a former president, but he is the nominee. And obviously, we've had two significant security breaches at this point. So he's going to be getting the tactical elements. He's going to be getting all the resources in terms of other Secret Service assets, technology, and all those things. So I would guess at this point, and if you kind of are paying attention, you can see the increase in just the sheer staffing levels. Now, whether the Secret Service has the ability to staff those things consistently, I think, is a whole nother question. They're experiencing a lot of the same staffing issues that other law enforcement agencies are experiencing. So I think the ability to be able to cover those that many events effectively is still a question that hasn't been answered.
So let me try to put this in perspective and have you answer this. Reminder, Jason Russell's with us, former Secret Service agent, just outstanding on topics like this. And we wish these topics would never come out, because no matter where you stand on this race, this needs to be condoned in every single way. No attempt should be made in any manner towards the life of Donald Trump. If Joe Biden would go somewhere tomorrow and play golf compared to Donald Trump, and it's a scheduled round of golf, it's not a spur of the moment, how different are those two approaches right now?
Well, you probably would see, if, you know, the sitting president, because obviously he's the commander in chief. So there's a lot of things that can happen, obviously, from a national security perspective that don't happen with a former president in terms of the ability to launch military attacks. And, you know, if we have an attack on our country, so you're going to see a different level of protection. What you probably would have seen is those streets, certainly around the golf course, traffic would have been limited. I would anticipate that those woods probably would have been searched with a dog or local police assets, at least going through those areas since so adjacent. So it certainly would have been a stepped up security on that perimeter area. And obviously, I think now you're going to see that even on off the record movements, as you're going to see just a general increase in what the Secret Service does.
Jason, there's been a debate on the number of Secret Service agents for a while. You know this better than I, but I've read about it for years. Do you think right now it is closer to what a lot of cities are facing, where they can't find the right people? Or is it also a matter of the money, the funding isn't there?
I don't think it's the funding. I think it is that the Secret Service is facing the same staffing issues that traditional law enforcement agencies are facing. But you have to also add to that, the qualifications are higher. So you have to pass a polygraph. You know, many times they're looking for advanced degrees. So the number of people that want to get into that work are, you know, that pool is going to be smaller and it's much more difficult. So you're accepting less than 1%. Whereas, you know, in a police department, you're probably accepting, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20%. So it's just the sheer number. It's difficult to get that many agents that can qualify for the job.
Can I go back to the first assassination attempt? I know we had you on a second time, and it was a few weeks after. And I think my first question was, why don't we know more about what happened? Can I ask you the same question about the first attempt again? Shouldn't we know a lot more at this particular time?
I think the information is known. Whether it's being shared with the public, I think, is a whole nother question. So that's an FBI issue, frankly. The FBI is the agency that investigates assassination attempts. So, you know, if they're not releasing information, the Secret Service certainly isn't going to release information and potentially jeopardize an FBI investigation. So as I understand that kind of desire for the information, that's an FBI question, not necessarily a Secret Service question.
There have been some senators the last few weeks who have been alluding to what they know. Some have pushed back saying they haven't been given enough information, but a few senators have said what we've learned, it's troubling. Do you think in the next couple months we're going to have a formal press conference from Christopher Wray and others with the FBI to lay out, I don't know, not all of it, but most of the information that is known? Or does what happened yesterday slow that down even more?
No, I don't think what happened yesterday is going to slow it down. If anything, I think it's going to speed it up because people aren't moving on, right? I think there was maybe a little bit of moving past the July incident, obviously, because we're moving closer to the election. But what happened yesterday, I think, is just going to reignite the questions. And I think we're going to see a demand for answers. And I would anticipate that the FBI, along with the Secret Service, are going to be forced into a position where they have to start providing that information.
Last thing, I'll let you go. And we should point out there's going to be another press conference in West Palm. Providing new information or maybe affirming what some learned in court today. How different is this, the fact that the first attempt, the individual was killed right away, compared to this individual in custody? One point today in court was smiling, even chuckling briefly. How different is the approach? How different is the likelihood we're going to learn the specifics why he did it? I mean, there's a lot out there on social media on he first voted for Donald Trump, but then since has turned to be a strong critic of a former president. It seems like that seems to be from verified accounts, but it's different when you're judging social media versus experts are talking to this person face to face.
Yeah, I think the unique opportunity is he is still alive. So we're going to learn a little bit more about pre-attack, indicators. What did he do ahead of time? How did he gather information? And hopefully the Secret Service can use some of that information to improve their ability to protect in the future, because that's going to be super important information to understand. How did he know where to be? All those pieces of information will be valuable to the Secret Service.
Jason, excellent. We'll reach out to you again. Hopefully it's on a different matter and nothing close to this happens again, but I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Jason Russell, again, former Secret Service agent, providing us expertise. He now is the president and founder of Secure Environment Consultants.